You know, that is not just a song that we sing just to sing a song. That's reality. I don't know about you, but I believe all of us, we have some God-sized problems. And we need a God-sized solution. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that He tells us that He will build His church. And folks, I'm afraid many times, I'm guilty of this, we try to build His church. He needs to build the church. And how come so many times we go to one another instead of going to God for help? In Sunday school, I heard a testimony this morning from Erica, and she said that they were witnessing to some college students that were very intellectual. They didn't want to listen to the gospel, and that happens a lot. So they prayed. And when they prayed, the college students wanted to listen to the gospel. Do we believe in the power of prayer? Harold Vaughn is coming April 3rd through the 5th, and he's having a prayer summit with our church. And I read some of the material that he's going to be preaching on, and I said, Lord, I want this month of March to be emphasized on prayer. And folks, we need to pray. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. I want to encourage you as a church body, when you gather together in a group in the corner, pray. When someone tells you a problem, pray about it. Just imagine what God could do if we started praying about everything. God says to. He can handle the problem far greater than we can. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to, for the next few weeks, maybe 3 weeks, be preaching from this passage in Luke chapter 11. Now, how many, when you think of the Gospels, they're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many, by raising a hand, how many of you love Matthew more than Mark, Luke, and John? Anybody here, Matthew's your favorite Gospel, okay? We have a couple. All right, how about Mark? Anybody like Mark? All right, we have two or three. Mark, okay. How about Luke? Anybody like Luke, okay? More Luke than Matthew and Mark. How about John? All right, usually John is the favorite one. Luke is called the Gospel of Prayer. Why? Because Luke emphasizes prayer more than Matthew, Mark, and John do. Emphasizes the prayer, how we need to pray. Folks, I don't know about you, but I need to pray a lot more. And tonight in our service, I want to talk about prayer, and I know several people went to the prayer advance. I'd like you to be here tonight to talk about what you learned at the prayer advance. Folks, we need a revival of prayer. 9 different times, Luke talks about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. 9 different times. Let me read one of those references to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray. And many times when I go to a mountain, it's not to pray, it's to sightsee. He went to this mountain to pray. Now what gets me, and continued all night in prayer to God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but have you ever prayed all night long? Now Jesus was the perfect man. We're imperfect. Is anyone here perfect? You better not raise your hand, all right? If the perfect Son of God needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? Chuck Smith said this about prayer. The most important thing a born-again Christian can do is to pray. That's what Chuck Smith said. I want to read it again. The most important thing a born-again Christian can do is to pray. Now ask yourself, how much did I pray last week? Did you pray very much? That's why I prayed before the meal. Did you really get hold of God? You see, in America, we have learned the form of prayer without the power and presence of God. I'm afraid many times we have learned how to pray, but we're not talking to God. Luke chapter 11, the Bible tells us how we ought to pray. S.D. Gordon said, the greatest thing anyone can do for God or man is to pray. A.J. Gordon said this, you can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. So when A.J. Gordon said this, you can do more than pray, but you can't do more until you have prayed. John Wesley said this, prayer is where the action is. Prayer is where the action is. Folks, I'm excited about what God can do. Not what I can do, not what you can do, but what God can do. He can change the heart. He can bring revival. Why don't we pray? I believe we really don't believe God answers prayer. I believe another reason, because we're content with where we are spiritually. Even though we're miserable and things are not working out for us, we think, you know, I'm okay. I'm better than the guy in jail. I'm better than this guy that doesn't know Christ. Folks, what about the abundant Christian life? Luke chapter 11 this morning, please. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a word of prayer this morning. Father, I'm so thankful this morning we can open your word. Lord, I can preach from your word. This is your word. And Lord, you have a word for each one of us this morning. We're not here by accident. We're not here by chance. You brought us here this morning for a reason. Oh God, work in our hearts. Lord, if there should be someone here that is not saved, please convict them of their need of salvation. And Lord, all of us, convict me in this area of prayer. Father, we need prayer. We need to talk to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, every so often someone will talk to me and they'll say, Pastor, we need revival. And I agree. It's almost like, Pastor, bring revival. I cannot bring revival. Only God brings revival. But folks, how many believe we need revival? Would you raise your hand? How many believe you need revival? How many believe the person next to you needs revival? No, just kidding. We need revival. Revival is when something that is sleeping wakes up. And I tell you what, sleeping is prayer in our lives. And I don't believe, even the guy behind this pulpit, I have a long ways to go when we talk about prayer. And I'm thankful that God is wanting us to emphasize the area of prayer. You want life to change? Get hold of God. Let God change it. Prayer has fallen asleep. I believe this morning we don't want the process or the pain of revival. We want the product of revival. We want those good feelings. We want the presence of God to be felt. We want the fruit of revival. We want to see souls saved. But we're afraid to pay the price of revival. D.G. Campbell Morgan said this, that the wind of God only blows when we get our sails up. D.G. Campbell Morgan said this, the wind of God only blows when we get our sails up. The cell is prayer. We need to pray. Charles Spurgeon said this, that the habit of prayer is good, but the spirit of prayer is much better. Now, what is he saying? Now, maybe you're disciplined in your prayer life, and every day you have a certain time that you pray, and I thank God for that. But what he says is the habit of prayer is good, but the spirit of prayer is much better. The spirit of prayer is when I just want to talk to God because I love God and I want to talk to Him because I need to. If you're taking notes this morning, first of all, there's the pattern of prayer. The pattern of prayer. Verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the model prayer. Jesus never sinned. This is not a prayer to be recited. This is a pattern for prayer. And I love Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples is with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's praying, and they're listening to him, and they're watching him. And I'm sure that Jesus prayed in front of his disciples many times because he wanted his disciples to realize that prayer was the key. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. Do you have a certain place that you pray? Someone said, you learn how to pray not in the classroom, but in the closet. And I don't know how many of you watched that movie, The War Room, but they had a closet where they prayed and it inspired us for a while. But folks, there needs to be a place that people can say, oh, that's where my dad goes to pray. That's where mom goes to pray. That's where my spouse goes to pray. There was a certain place they knew that Jesus prayed. And when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. I don't know about you, but if I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ, I could have thought of other things to teach me. Lord, teach me how to walk on water. Lord, teach me how to perform a miracle. Teach me how to preach. Teach me how to teach. But the disciples said, Lord, teach me how to pray. Because they realized that was the key to the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. And if Jesus Christ needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. John taught his disciples how to pray. You know what this tells me? That prayer is something that I can learn. And folks, I don't want you to learn from me this morning. I want you to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust this morning, and I want your heart's desire to be the same as this disciple. Lord, teach me to pray. Because if that's your heart's desire, the Lord will teach you how to pray. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. He prayed before his baptism. He prayed before he selected the 12 disciples. He prayed at his transfiguration. He prayed before he was arrested. He prayed while he was on the cross. Now, when the disciples said, Lord, teach me to pray, the Lord had a lot to say about prayer. Because notice in the next verse, and he said it to them. And then verse 5, and he said it to them. Verses 8 and 9, he says, I say unto you. So he's teaching them how to pray. And verse 2, and he said to them, when ye pray, you know what that tells me? That every born-again Christian ought to pray sometime. He didn't say if you pray. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about prayer. Prayer is beyond any question the highest activity of the human soul. Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. Now notice what God says. Jesus says, you want to learn how to pray? Okay, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Folks, I am thankful this morning that prayer is simply God's children coming to God. I have people come to me and sometimes they'll say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? Never once. Do I remember ever one of my kids going, Dad, the greatest dad in the world? Dad, I would be honored if you would answer this request. Folks, they would come to me because I was their father. And your kids come to you because you're dad. You have a heavenly father in heaven. And maybe your earthly father wasn't so great. And maybe this morning you don't even know your earthly father. Maybe your earthly father left before you were even born. And maybe you grew up in an abusive home. Maybe you got sexually abused or verbally abused, and you say, I like that kind of dad. I'm telling you, if you're saved this morning, you have a heavenly father that is perfect and is very understanding. Because I remember times when I would talk to my dad when I was in high school. My dad just didn't get it. And he was trying to understand. But I want you to know you have a heavenly father that knows everything about you, everything about you. And he understands every need you have. And when you hurt, he hurts. And prayer is simply coming to your heavenly father. I'm afraid this morning, we often go to God and we pray, and we're not really thinking about God. And we pray for 60 seconds and we think we did our great spiritual deed of that day. Folks, when you get hold of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you're going to pray a lot longer than 60 seconds. It says, Our Father, which art in heaven. Prayer is simply going to God Almighty in heaven. Now, not everybody is a child of God. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said to the unconverted Pharisees, Ye are of your father the devil. Every person without Christ is not a child of God. You have to be born again. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Prayer is not for the ears of man, but for the ears of God. Years ago, President Lyndon Johnson, Press Secretary Bill Moyers, was a Christian. Was at a staff lunch. Bill Moyers bowed his head and he was praying, and President Johnson said, Hey, Bill, speak a little louder. I can't hear you. Bill Moyers said this, President, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. Now, when you pray, are you talking to the people next to you? Are you talking to God? God who will give us an audience? Verse 2, And He said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I'm afraid many times, including myself, I forget I'm talking to the King of Kings, the Holy God. We should show reverence to God. Hallowed be Thy name. Reverence for God. The name of God means who God really is. I don't have the time this morning to go through all the names of God, but folks, so I think of Jehovah Jireh in Genesis 22:14, the Lord will see to it and the Lord will provide. I'm thankful for this. Someone else can't provide for you, but God Almighty can. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. You see, sometimes I just need peace. I can't go down to Walmart and buy peace. Nobody can give me peace. Only God can give you peace. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1. The reverence of God. I remember years ago, and several of you men came with me. We went up to Wisconsin to pray with the neighborhood Bible Time men, if you're not familiar with them. There's about 36 to 40 men that would travel throughout America and some other countries to hold a Bible school. And I would preach on prayer, and then we divided up in about groups of 7 to 10 people. And I remember taking a group into a furnace room. It really was, you know, I didn't know how it would go. And there was 3 rounds of prayer. First round is simply confess sin. And one by one, these men that were traveling from various Bible colleges, the cream of the crop, started confessing sin. And when God moved in, and you could sense the presence of God, these men became broken. I remember we had chairs, and we were leaning down on the chair, kneeled down in front of the chair, And next to me on this floor of this furnace room, the young man next to me was crying, and there was big drops falling down on the floor, and it was a big spot by the end of the night. When these men realized they were talking to a God that you cannot hide anything from, a God who knew everything about them, those secret sins they didn't want anybody else to know about, God knew about them. See, God knows what you're thinking about right now. That's the God we talk to, a God who loves us. You see, prayer is a God-centered activity. Because he says, verse 2, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." It's a God-centered activity. First of all, he says, you pray about God's will to be done. Now imagine if we were in heaven this morning. There'd be no crime, no virus. Nobody would get robbed. There'd be no murders. Just imagine what it would be like watching television without any sin and no crime, no crooked politicians. Folks, it'd be a perfect place because God's will is being done. It's what Jesus says. When you pray, it's not about your will. It's not about my will. It's not about my plans. It's about God's plans. Thy will be done. Samuel Chadwick said this, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying." He's doing a good job of that. "He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." I don't know if that convicts you. That convicts me. So when I work with people and I don't pray about it, the devil doesn't care. He just laughs. Folks, when you work in junior church or when you work in Awana, if you don't pray before, it's all in vain. When we have a service, we meet together, we go through the process of the service, go through the motions. Without God, we're in vain. Ian Bounds said this about prayer. There are four things we need to keep in mind. Number one, God hears prayer. You believe that this morning? God hears prayer. He heeds prayer. He answers prayer. And God delivers by prayer. Notice in verse 3, he said, "Give us day by day our daily bread." And it's easy to read that without really dissecting it. He said, "Give us." So prayer is not about just you, it's about others. Think about your prayer life. When you do pray, how much time do you spend praying about yourself and your family and your needs? And how little time do you pray about others? You see, our prayers are so focused on self. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you to come through in this. It's not wrong, but what does Jesus say? Give us. Give us. If you have time to worry, you have time to pray. Just imagine what God could do to this church if all the time we spend in worry and gossip and talk about one another and we use that time to pray, there would be revival. He said, give us day by day. I love that. Because you know my needs today will be different than what my needs will be tomorrow. And there's a God in heaven that He's the only one that can meet those needs. Because you don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. And what I need today, God has for me. Give us this day, day by day, our daily needs. I found this out. All of us are needy people. We're all very needy. And there's a God in heaven who hears us. And there's a God in heaven who can answer. Give us, not just give me, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 4, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Man's greatest problem is sin. I was on a website the other day, and I have hereditary spastic paraplegia. Only 20,000 people have it. And I'm looking at this website, and they don't have any cure for it yet. They don't know if they ever will. And I thought to myself, I am so thankful that Jesus has a cure for sin. Amen? Because if it wasn't for the cure for sin, all of us would be on our way to hell right now. And if you're saved this morning, because there was a day in your life when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He forgave you for every sin. And He took your sin on the cross of Calvary. And someday, if I die tomorrow or in 10 days from now or 10 years from now, I'm going to heaven because Jesus covered my sins. He died for me. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, the Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Number one, how do you cover sin from an almighty, all-knowing God? You can't. It's the Bible says. He who covereth his sins. Do you try to hide your sin from others? You're not going to receive mercy. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's a promise from God. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know what I'm thankful this morning? That God does not treat me the way I treat others sometimes. You think about that. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't treat you the way that you treat others? Because we want mercy from God. We want God to give us mercy, but sometimes we're not very merciful. We want God to be forgiving to us, but we withhold mercy and forgiveness from others. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Matthew chapter 6, you can find some of the same words. And Jesus is not saying this. He is not saying, if you don't forgive others, you're not going to be forgiven. He's not saying that. It's not a work salvation. What Jesus is saying, if God has forgiven you of everything, then a Christian controlled by God, controlled by His Spirit, will forgive others because God's forgiven you. D.L. Moody one time was praying, a man of prayer. He came to the point in his life when he had to say, "God, no more, no more." He just felt overwhelmed by God's goodness. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. The reason you're losing heart, the reason you're discouraged, the reason you're upset is because you're not praying. Folks, I am so thankful there's a God in heaven who hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. I'm sure many of you have read The Hiding Place, written by Corrie Ten Boom. I read some of her background, what happened to her. She wasn't Jewish, but because her family hid some Jews from the Nazis, her family was arrested and she was taken to a prison camp. She said it was one of the worst things that ever happened to her. She said they stripped her of her clothes and she had to march in front of these German soldiers. And they had more ladies in that little barracks than should have been in there. And she said they woke them up early in the morning. They'd beat some of them. She said it was cold. They didn't have enough clothes. They had to work all day long. Her dad died. Her sister died. She said they hardly got anything to eat. And some of the young ladies were just begging God, "Just kill us, just kill us." She said there was a clerical error, they said, and she shouldn't have been arrested. That was the hand of God, because every young lady in her barracks was murdered after that. Someone said, how did you keep such a sweet spirit going through that? She said, it wasn't me, it was God. And one time in front of about 300 or 400 people, she was sharing her testimony of forgiveness. And she was saying, if I can forgive, you can forgive. She said, I wasn't prepared for what happened after the service. Because after I finished, a man came up to me and he held out his hand and he said, you probably don't remember me. And she said, I recognized him. He was one of the coolest soldiers that was in our barracks. All she could think of, the pain he caused and her sister dying and how evil and wicked this man was. This man said, I got saved several years ago and Jesus forgave me of everything. And I just want to ask you, would you forgive me too? She said it was like her hand was frozen to her side. She said, I couldn't move it. All that came into my mind was all that hurt and that pain and the flashbacks. She says, God, I can't. And then finally, it was God's love, but she reached out her hand and she shook his hand and she said, I forgive you. And she said it seemed like this dam of bitterness and resentment and hatred was released in her heart. Someone asked her later on, how could that be? She said, because the love of God was stronger than my hatred. You know, folks, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, God commands us that we need to pray for the people that hurt us. And when they still bother us, it's because we're not really praying for them, like God tells us. No matter what it is in your life, if you go to God in prayer, He can give you the answer or He can give you the grace. Do we really believe in the God who created this universe, who spoke this world into existence, who has not lost any strength? The God who created you says to you this morning, pray. Come to me. I will teach you how to pray. Are you teachable this morning? Are you willing to say, Lord, teach me to pray? Because if that's your heart's desire, God will teach you how to pray. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a word of prayer. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life. I know this, we're all very, very needy. We all have struggles, we all have pain. And your pain is different than my pain. We all struggle, but there's a God in heaven who desires for us to come to Him. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, how many would say with uplifted hand, Pastor, I've got some problems. I need God to help me. Here's my hand this morning. Please pray for me. Would you lift that hand? God bless you. Many, many hands all over this auditorium. Folks, if you truly will go to the God of this universe, the Creator of all things, He will hear your prayers and He will answer. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, how many would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I would die right now, I don't have that peace in my heart that I'm going to heaven. If Jesus Christ would come right now, I'm not sure that my home would be in heaven. I'm glad you came this morning. I want to pray for you. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you kindly lift your hand so I can see it? I won't call you out, won't embarrass you. Is there someone like that here this morning? You say, Pastor, my heart's troubled. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me this morning?